And here he is, Peter Gleeson from the Courier-Mail and Sky News. And Gleeso, Queensland is officially coming dead last in Australia's vaccine rollout, lagging behind the other states and territories, even behind the Hermit Kingdom, WA. But we had this morning Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk announcing Pfizer will be available to people aged 60 and over, which is great if we've got the supplies to do it. But it just feels like, me again, it's muddying the waters and dashing confidence in AstraZeneca, which is a perfectly good vaccine, and we've got plenty of it, have had for months.
Yeah, Deb, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. It does tend to suggest that the undermining of AstraZeneca a few months ago by Chief Health Officer Jeanette Young, when she said, if I was under 40, I wouldn't be getting AZ, it's had a really marked effect on the rollout in Queensland. And there's been this ongoing debate where, you know, Queensland blames Canberra for a lack of supply. Canberra says, no, there's plenty of supply. But I think it's an acknowledgement, today's announcement, that definitely, you know, they are facing an uphill battle to try and get to that 80% double vax rate by December 3. And I think it's also an acknowledgement that that in some respects their messaging hasn't been as good as it should. And I also believe that they haven't been as proactive as what they should be as far as rolling out the different sites. We've seen some piecemeal stuff in the last few days. Oh, look, you can go along to the footy in Mackay, or you can go along to the footy in Rocky, and you can get a jab as well.
These pop-up vaccine clinics, which are a great idea, but you're right. It should be not just pop-up.
Why weren't they happening 2 months ago?
Yeah.
That's the big thing. We've got a window of opportunity in Queensland with very little COVID in this state to get vaccinated and get protected. And I just get a sense that they are playing catch-up, and it'll be a race to the bottom between Australia, between Queensland and WA as to who gets to that 80%. And I see New South Wales hit the 80%. Is that right, today?
Today, yeah. 80% first dose. And so first dose, on the way to that 70% fully dosed target, that is what we're looking at mid-next month. So once you've hit that mark, it's only going to be, you know, a couple of weeks away. So that's a good step. And let's hope that Queensland does catch up, because you need to, that's for sure. And you've had this tragic accident overnight in this underground coal mine that collapsed just north of Emerald. A man in his 60s has died and two others were taken to hospital. Is it clear what's happened yet, Gleeso?
No, there's sketchy details, but it just, again, underscores, doesn't it, just how dangerous mining is in this country. I mean, it's dangerous wherever you go throughout the world. And I think the safety protocols that we've seen introduced in Australia in the last 30 years have been terrific. But, you know, nothing can prevent those types of, you know, freak accidents. And, you know, we've seen the death of a 60-year-old man, another man transported to Rockhampton Hospital in a serious condition, and another man having some sort of medical episode. So our thoughts and prayers go out to the family of the man who was killed. And it, as I said, it just underscores how important safety parameters are when it comes to mining in this country.
Yeah, well said. Now, I know that you are very passionate about voluntary assisted dying. We've spoken about it on the show from your own personal experience too. And the legislation, which is set to pass Queensland, it's being debated by Queensland Parliament. We've heard a lot of very emotional speeches, though, haven't we, from MPs, and a bit of pushback as well from faith-based groups.
It's been really interesting. I mean, you know, each MP, the 89 MPs in, or 96, whatever it is, in Queensland, given a conscience vote. Former opposition leader Tim Nicholls spoke emotionally supporting the bill. Current opposition leader David Christofoli said he could not support the bill on the basis that, you know, there were certain amendments that he was pushing. He believes it's gone too far. I mean, they are the most radical VAD laws in the country. I mean, you basically can push the the green light, if you like, on the voluntary assisted dying protocols 12 months out from a terminal illness diagnosis, which is, you know, that's a pretty radical step when you consider that we're dealing with medical science, and it's estimated that 10% of all major illnesses are misdiagnosed. And how many times have we heard in the past, Deb, you know, someone says, oh, they've been given 6 months to live and they finish up, you know, lasting 6 or 10 years. So, look, it is controversial. We've seen some highly emotional debate. We've seen, you know, MPs crying, Megan Scanlon, the member for Gavin, crying last night. Yvette Dath broke down. And you can understand, you know, especially when they personalise it. And as you mentioned, you know, I lost my brother earlier this year, and I made a very strong case, I think, for, you know, with the right medical ethical checks in place, I think it's a no-brainer, and I think it should happen. This law will be passed tomorrow. There's no doubt at all about
that. Because all MPs have got a conscience vote.
But the Labor Party, if you're from the left faction of the Labor Party and you don't vote for this bill, I don't think you'll be an MP next time round. But that said, I'm being 100%. Mm. I'm being cynical, but there is a very strong expectation in the Labor Party, particularly from the left faction that have driven this, because it is a very, very, just as they drove the abortion stuff. I mean, we saw with the abortion stuff, that was a conscience vote for the Labor Party. That's what the Premier said, but everyone voted for the bill. So, look, I think it will, I've got no doubt that it will be passed tomorrow, and it'll just depend whether or not there are certain members who get up and talk about the amendments, because there are some faith-based groups, particularly the Christian groups and the Christian churches, Catholic churches indeed, who are particularly concerned about some aspects of it, in particular whether or not you can make that decision in a faith-based hospital or hospice. And that's something that I know there was big debate in Cabinet on Monday about that, but it is now very much in the domain of any doctor or GP or specialist that they can make that call in a faith-based hospital or hospice. So that's interesting.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes with that vote. And look, I know you've got to fly because you've got your Sky News commitments. They're letting you off after dark. Will you be wearing your cravat? That's what Ray's always talking about. But this is our last one because you'll be back with Joe.
It's been so good.
I know. It's been wonderful to have you on the show. And I know 4BC listeners will be going local with Sophie Formica in a couple of weeks. But just to have your contribution, don't worry, we won't let you off the hook. We'll still be touching base with you. But, good on you for the stance you've taken on a lot of issues like voluntary assisted dying as well, because you put it out there, you put it on the line, and you speak from the heart, which is what we appreciate.
And listeners, there's no bigger fan of Deb Knight than Peter Gleeson, so just take that into account.
Oh, good on you, Gleeso. We love you. Enjoy. We'll watch you on Sky. Don't worry. Thank you. There he is.
Thanks.
Peter Gleeson there from the Courier Mail and Sky News. You're on Afternoons with Deborah Knight.